just whatever I'm doing, when I'm realizing that I'm actually seeing what I'm thinking. So that there's a real visual increase in the sense of interacting in the spirit. Just like I might just take off writing, and all of a sudden the whole visual aspect of that will just rise up in me. And I'm really enjoying that. I know that I've done that to a degree for quite a while, but I just noticed the more of interacting, in the spirit, in heaven, just doing, all of these different aspects, that it enhances that. And I was looking up a, it made me think of, like, a visual spatial abilities, that people have. And I was looking into some of the previous geniuses, whether it was Einstein or, Galileo or, whoever. And I discovered that that was one of their greater abilities, was to visualize what they were actually thinking. And also, it reminded me of you in the sense of the things that you've shared over a period of time, where, you just, partly what causes people to drop off is they don't continue. You have to just stay at it. You got to keep doing it. And I realized one of the traits that previous, people had, like Einstein and others, is that their genius came more out of just, they kept on doing it again and again. So they might have not really had genius in all of those attempts, but because they stayed at it and pressed into that, then the bigger picture developed, or the bigger discovery came forth. And I just thought that was really powerful, in the sense of, obviously God giving them an ability, giving everyone the ability to, just begin to really, in the sense of embracing, what he's put in our spirit, and develop that and work that again and again and again. And we had a powerful meeting last or yesterday, where all of a sudden people realized that all these gates and doors weren't out there really even in another realm, but it was in them. And they could just see these doors just swinging open, and the gates swinging open on the inside of them. And they were just, immediately, beginning to, like, step through these places, and it was just intense, and it was a lot of fun. But I've noticed the people that, even in areas of Hollywood that I've been meeting, I think a lot of their ability to really start stepping into the things of God and the Spirit is because of that ability to, just to see it and not just hear it. And therefore really, and like, oh yeah, I see that. Yeah, I can do that. And so I'm discovering that they've really practiced that a lot. That, especially a couple producers that I've met, their ability to see, something, a scene the way it's supposed to be, and now transitioning that over into, other aspects of relationship and kingdom. And anyhow, I was just curious your thoughts on that, because I know you are always referring to that at one level or another.
I mean, it is practice. I mean, everything we've done, we've learned. Other than our identity of who we are, everything else we've learned. We've learned to see, gain spatial awareness in this realm. All those things, it's just a learned process. We just didn't know we were learning, because it was in childhood. And so, in terms of, it's like you don't think as a child, well, how do I learn to talk? You sort of begin to copy, I guess, what you've heard, and as you copy it, then your parents sort of say, well, well done, and you're encouraged, sort of, so it's all part of the process of building. And I think it's the same in the realm of the spirit, or any creative realm engagement. What is there instinctively in some people They've probably still had to overcome the obstacles that the world puts in their way, particularly the education system, which does not encourage the sort of meditative, seeing, daydreaming, just that type of thing. And in a sense, it's like, I mean, I can look at it from my grandchildren. You see the difference that they have when they're sort of 3 and 4, and you know that they can see things.
Mm-hmm.
They're engaging in something, and then later on, my wife was talking about this the other day, you know, in terms of our sort of grandchild who's probably about 4, and then we have a grandchild who's 6, and she's much more, you know, in the school system, and you can see that whole way of where she used to be very creatively and engaging, and now she's learning to analyze and to engage. Now, there's nothing wrong in that, so long as the other side of it doesn't actually get squashed out, which often it does, you know. And you know, there isn't that encouragement to just to begin to see and to look and to creatively engage. You know, is our creative side, which really is where the engagement takes place, you know. And for us now, we're having to restore a lot of things that have been lost, you know. They should be there, but they aren't, so we're having to practice to restore those things that God always intended us to use, you know, whether it was the eyes of our heart and our imagination to picture things. You know, I mean, you're talking about Einstein, you know, his so many quotes of his which talk about, you know, the imagination and, you know, and logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will get you everywhere. You know, it's that type of statement that he made. I remember reading something about his, you know, theory of relativity and how he discovered that. You know, it wasn't at a blackboard putting that formula on the thing. He was lying down one day in a meadow, and he described it as the thoughts of God dancing in his mind. And therefore he was just meditating and picturing and seeing and those thoughts, because it's like they may come as thoughts, but it's the ability to take that thought and then enter into it which is the key.
And
most of us get a fleeting thought or something will come into our mind, but often it's just dismissed as nothing rather than grabbing hold of it and realize it was God. And then when we, even if we do realize it's God, then most people don't know what to do with it. And it is taking that thought and then bringing it into a creative experience so that we can step into it, engage it, as you say, go into that realm. When we release that creative ability that just takes us from one realm to another so that we can step into those things and experience them. We just have to overcome the obstacles and relearn by practicing it. I think some people probably are a little bit more creatively there instinctively and they find it easier. I really didn't find it easy. I mean, I was as left-brained as you could imagine. You know, I analyzed everything. That was my... So I worked. I logically worked things out and, you know, I came up with some good solutions sometimes, but in reality, none of it was visual. And none of it was sort of right brain creative. And, you know, I've had to train myself to be right brain. You know, now when I do the, you know, right brain, left brain exercises, I come out right brained all the time because I've actually practiced that so that actually it's now my predominant way of engagement, you know. And I think it's true, you know, for a lot of people, if you don't practice it, you won't get any better at it. And sometimes it's actually the people who find it easy to receive visions from God actually don't find it easy to visualize and engage themselves, because it's almost like, well, God has projected something into their mind, but when it comes to them beginning to engage that and create it themselves, they find it harder, some people, you know. So for everybody, it is a matter of learning to engage and practicing it until we can do it at all levels. You know, whether it's, you know, yes, hearing the voice of God is great. I mean, I'd rather hear the voice of God than not hear his voice. But I'd also rather then take the voice of God and then engage in the person of God, which is actually an experience of meeting with him, whether it's on the inside of us or in the realm of heaven. It's taking the engagement and then pursuing it to its great. And I think that's the key, not to be satisfied with a thought or a feeling or an impression, but go take that and use that as your starting point, as a springboard to something greater, because God is just trying to get our attention. You know, for some people he gets our attention through a dream, or some through a vision or a picture, and for others through a thought or an impression. But it's not leaving it there, it's seeing that is just the doorway of engagement into something deeper and higher and going further. I mean, we were engaging here yesterday with, you know, we had four angels that we have with us each time we gather, and the four faces of God as the living creatures. And there was just these arcs that were forming, and we had flags representing those things on the floor. And I could just see the overlap of heaven and earth, where these angels were and living creatures were arcing together to create an opportunity for people to step into that experience, you know. And so I saw this, so I shared it, and I just encourage people to engage. So just go where your spirit's drawing you. You may be, you know, between this angel and the lion, or this angel and the eagle, and just see what you encounter. So I mean, I went there, and I went between the angel, which is called the sound of many waters for us, which is sort of a deep calling out to deep sound from heaven, and the eagle. And I just stepped into that place, and it was like I went deeper and deeper and higher and higher. It was like, you know, the connection between, you know, deep calling to deep and the eagle, which soars, was just amazing. And I went deeper and deeper into something and found myself in a higher realm than I've ever been before. And it was an amazing experience. And it just sort of, or just by stepping into that place. And in the end, I just got on my face and lay there and went into this sort of place. All I can describe it as is oneness. I think it was the realm of perfection, and it was where everything just merged into a beautiful oneness. It was like light and water was what I was feeling, but they were like, one. And I mean, I find it difficult to describe it, because it came as a sort of as something I've never really seen before.
Right.
It was color and shape and just all the senses all mixed into this oneness of being in this place of perfection. But I got it by going deeper into a place that I'd been before. And I'd been to this place where there was waterfalls falling into this place in the garden in heaven. And I went deeper and deeper, and I went past. I just felt drawn to go past the place where I normally engage there, because I'd never realized there was a place past it, because I've always been caught up with what I've seen in this place. So I went deeper and went deeper and deeper into something. And I guess it's been my experience really recently. By pursuing something and keep it at it, there are so many deeper levels to it. Whether it's the Firestones, you know, I've gone to three or four different levels of that that I didn't even know existed the first time I engaged there. But because I kept going back, and then I kept looking into it rather than just standing on it, and then going into what I was looking into, as you say, it opens up a realm to go deeper. And I found that the deeper I go, the less cognitive the experience is, that I understand it with my mind, but the more my spirit just seems to be totally at one, becoming one with it and absorbing it, if you like, and receiving revelation that at the time my mind is completely separate from. And I've learned not to try and engage my mind to try and figure it out, but just to experience it and let my spirit receive it and resonate with it and come into alignment with it. And then later on, as I then meditate and go back into it, my things get released that I can understand. you know. And so I was there yesterday, and I was just in this place, and it was just an amazing thing. But I didn't try and figure out, where am I? Or where is this place? What must this be? Because I know if I do that, actually, I'll just stop the engagement, because it's supposed to be spirit-to-spirit engagement, and our spirit is then supposed to feed that into our cognitive senses. And so it was just, again, just going deeper and practicing staying in that place so that it opens up a deeper realm. You know?
Yeah.
I can remember a long time ago, it was like when I first had my encounter with this pool, I was swimming on the surface, and it was lovely. I mean, it was just this peaceful, wonderful swimming around and just basking in the sunlight, and it was lovely. But I felt my spirit just call, come deeper. And I guess it's this keep deep calling it to deep, and it's God in me calling me to go deeper. So it's like, so I started swimming down, and I'm under the water swimming down, looking around, seeing colors and ribbons of things, which I know were all about the gifts of the spirit. And my spirit just knew that's what they were. They were just graces, if you like, these sort of charisma graces. And it was just, and I was just, again, just floating under the water with these things swirling around me. But as I was there, it's like my spirit just said, go deeper. And so I went deeper, and there were things deeper in terms of spiritual abilities, which were, there were colors, and they were sort of like ribbons of color, but they were sort of, they had a different dimension, a capacity, or a way of, they were almost translucent, and you could see something in them which was beyond color. And I was just like amazed. I mean, it was just like, this is a long time ago now, so it's like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm sort of at that point just like, wow, I'm just looking at this stuff. But my spirit was like, come deeper. And so I went deeper, and when I went deeper, I found this chest, like a treasure chest, which, you know, which contained the thoughts of God about me. You know, and I sort of, and it was like representative of coins. So it was like gold coins, and that's how it sort of represented to me. So I took this coin, and I knew enough about it that you eat it or you stick it in your inside you. So I did that, and immediately I took this coin, it was like just exactly what I needed to know about what God thought about me, because there was something going on in my situation where I was doubting something. And this was exactly what I needed to know, you know. And so these things, you know, I could have stayed on the surface just having this wonderful time in the sort of the atmosphere of heaven and looking around and seeing what it was. But actually, I think there's something in all of us that just wants us, is calling us, come deeper, you know, come deeper and deeper. Yeah. There's just so much more, you know, so much more to experience and encounter. And, you know, so everything that I go to now, I'm expecting that my first encounter is just the surface. You know, it's been the same with the Ark. When I first engaged the Ark and went around the presence of God there, it was all about engaging His will. I wanted to have the manner that would give me His will, and I wanted my heart to be written on, if you like, and then that was it. That was my whole intention. I just wanted to know, what is Your will for me to do today? You know, so I wanted a mandate. And then it was like the revelation of what's in the Ark was what was important, the tablets, the manna, the rod. Not so much about, well, what was manifesting on the Ark between the wings of the cherubim. Because in a sense, you know, I had to take my place to begin to look into what God. Yeah, and it was only then when I started to engage in the name of God and Yod Heh Vav Heh and Lion, Ox, Eagle, Man. I had never even looked that deep before when I first engaged it. But I guess it's a journey, and it's a progressive desire to go deeper. You know, and once I'd sort of started looking and seeing the four faces of God and engaging them and sort of getting revelation of encountering them, then it was like, no, step in. You know, so I can be in the name of God. and be in it and step into it. And then it was a whole different dimension.
Right.
Now I'm in, and as I'm in him, I can then see from outside of being in him, you know, from being there looking out. Whereas before I was looking in, and that was wonderful. Now I'm in looking out, and then I have access into time and the timeline and into what was, so I could go back into what was so that could be manifested. All that stuff just came out of a desire to pursue and keep pursuing. You know, if I'd been satisfied with the wonder of what I first saw, I could have missed out on so much more. And I just think we need to be like that with everything in God. Just know that there is depths upon depths and levels upon levels to engage in.
Yeah.
And I had this wonderful feeling, just like I was going deeper, but I was going higher, and I ended up into this realm where it was just like, whoa. You know, even now, I sort of look to go and just meditate on that this morning, and I was just like, wow, this is just amazing. You know, and I think there is just an adventure, really. We're on an adventure of discovery.
Yeah. I found that I was sharing with the people yesterday about an experience I had where the Lord, I heard about the report, you know, of Japan having this earthquake recently. And immediately as I was listening to that report, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want to heal the faults in the land, and I'm raising up my people and they're going to heal these faults. And immediately though, when I heard that, I saw the image of what that would look like. And then I actually entered into that and just found myself in that moment on the mountain, you know, exercising, you know, that authority, you know, over those. And I could visually see just like the seams in the earth, you know, just being healed. And that really excites me, because I knew that there was something in motion, that the earth was being impacted, you know, by that ability to, you know, see the position that, you know, God has placed us in as having true dominion over the earth. And Lou and I have talked about, you know, even when Alaska was being confronted with this historical storm, and they were talking about how it was just going to wipe out all of these different areas. When I heard that, I was not even in a place to where I wanted to go into that place in the spirit to occupy, but my spirit was pulling me, you know, to rise up, extend my scepter over that. I was sharing that with Lou and others. And so, you know, we've just been kind of moving more intensely into what you would call the bench of three. I think it's probably the bench of six now. But but the point is that, you know, just knowing that, you know, we can just step into that at any moment and really exercise, you know, that authority in the sense of what, you know, implement in the earth. And so it's just all, my point is that the sight, the hearing, the interactive with that was always meant to be a marriage, was always meant to work hand in hand. And it just seems that we're progressively one step at a time, you know, building our way up into it and, you know, really engaging. So that's just a whole game change. You know, the more you realize, oh, you know, what is there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I have been engaging in some things, engaging with the sort of the protocols of some of these things in the realms of heaven and the chancellor's roles in these and the houses that are in heaven. And one of them is called the Affairs of the Nations. And I've been in there a few times recently and met other people in there. And this was something very similar to what you're describing. It's like I saw a map which was shifting, and God was moving things on this map and bringing things together to restore and to bring it back to its purpose. But I saw nine thrones, and I was like, you know, because at first I was drawn to this map, and I was talking to somebody, and they were sort of talking to me about, well, I've got this heart for this, and I've got this heart for that. And so I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just sort of like observing, I'm standing here, what is this place? You know, I said, well, where is your heart? And they said, well, it's the nations. You know, it's, and I was like, okay. So I carried on looking, and I saw these nine thrones, and the nine thrones were empty, but I knew that there were thrones that were being prepared, and I knew, and on the thrones, there were all that was needed for each person that would be on that throne. And so I asked Wisdom, what are those thrones? And she said, those are the thrones that are being prepared for those who will carry the affairs of the nations to a level where they can take back the tectonic plates. Mm. Where they will take back the tectonic plates from the races that have occupied them to, have authority to move these things around to cause the fractures and the faults and the movements which we see. And so I thought, okay. So I think people who are having the experiences like you've just shared, I think some of those people are the people God is preparing, you know, to take that governmental authority and to take back where we actually control those things. And yes, we have authority over those things. And literally, I saw this whole map. It's like all the sea and the distance between the land masses was just starting to disappear. As the land masses just started to come together, and there was a sort of a unity starting to take place where governmental spheres across parallels around the world all started to shift closer together and start to function closer together in authority. And I see, you know, God raising up these authority places to begin to administer this sort of level of government. You know, yeah. And it was a really active place. It's his life. When I went there, it's like, hey, there's a lot of people being drawn here. And I've spoken to people who've been there, didn't know where they were, just knew that they were drawn because it was something to do with nations. So I think God is really starting to stir people towards this, to prepare them for a level of government which is beyond what is being shown right now. Now, it obviously is going to need to be able to shift that which has been occupying those things for a while. So, you know, the weapons of authority and identity that's needed to deal with something that's been, you know, essentially ruling over those tectonic plates for a long time is obviously going to be important that people know who they are to be able to deal with those. But, you know, a lot of these things God is beginning to establish in preparation for what's coming. So sounds, you know, your testimony is, sounds exactly the sort of thing that more and more people are beginning to have because they're being called into these governmental spheres. And even though we might not understand.
Yeah, and it's
our spirit just is drawing us to those things because it's people's destiny to be involved in that. So, you know.
Yeah. And I realize more and more the importance of that intimacy as being a real solid foundation to support all of that activity because of just what you described. I do sense or, you know, realize a greater conflict that every time you occupy those places, every time you move into those realms, there's just a greater intensity of conflict on the other side of it. But the relational aspect, to whatever degree that is the determining factor. I mean, that's what I'm realizing, you know, even in me, to the degree that that is developed, you know, in me and that I nurture that, it is less conflictive. Even it's like you can have conflict and you're not in the conflict, but yet it's there. But, you know, it really serves as a huge buffer, so to speak. You know, and so, you know, that really draws me, you know, deeper into that. I noticed lately you were talking about, like over this period of time, the Lord drawing you deeper into a level of intimacy to where, you know, you've just been feeling, you know, just like this pull and just really having these experiences. And I really feel that that is part of, you know, walking in those greater aspects, because it's actually required, you know, to sustain that.
Yeah, yeah. Because we have to be in him, you know, and, you know, we've known what it is to be in him theoretically, or because the Bible says I'm in him, or I'm seated with right. in heavenly places, or my life is hidden with in God, in Christ, that type of thing. But it's actually the reality of it. You know, that's for me what I've begun to realize. It's like how little I really knew the Holy Spirit, and how little I really knew Jesus, and how little I knew the Father. Even though I've had many encounters with them, it was almost like a lot of the encounters were about me knowing things and giving revelation of things rather than knowing them. And really having that deep intimacy with them and understanding their nature and character and knowing who they are. And as I've sort of, you know, taken that sort of being baptized into them, into a new level of experience, it's like being in them, it's like we're clothed. You know, when you talk about a buffer, when we really know that we're in the Father and we're in Jesus and we're in the Holy Spirit, it's like therefore we have the armor of light and the armor of righteousness and the armor of God around us. So we have the three sort of layers of revelation of, or the skins, if you like, as Ian Clayton puts it, of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus and, you know, of the Father. And it's almost like when you're in them, it's like who can touch us? You know, we're so buffered from that. It's like, and when we do then come from that place of rest and absolute certainty, if you like, of just knowing who we are, knowing who they are, knowing where we are in them, and then having that authority of, you know, in the name of Jesus or in the name of God, actually we are in the name of God. It's like we are in there.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just saying some words. We are in there. It's a positional place of governmental authority coming from an absolute peace and rest of knowing this is who I am, this is what I've called to be. And it's like Jesus said, you know, learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, he knew exactly who he was and yet was totally at peace and at rest, only doing what the Father was doing, or being in the Father doing his works in him. You know, this wonderful sort of I am experiences. I'm in the Father's in me, and now we're going to be in you, and you're going to be in us, and there's just amazing sense of depth to that, which, you know, I'd never experienced. You know, I thought I had, but until I stepped in and went deeper and just continue to pursue the relationship and be embraced, you know, because it was like first love was a transition point for me into what I should be doing, you know, rather than first love is just the place where I just want to be. And so, you know, that I was embraced by God in the, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Father embraced me, surrounded me, and I couldn't get away. You know, it's like I could not get away from that. You know, and that was what really took me deeper and deeper. You know, and I thought I knew, but the more I knew, the less I know. And therefore, the more I want to know, and the more I want to experience them, so that I just begin to know them, and then I can know myself, you know, in a totally different way. And it has been I guess this whole year really has just drawn me and been drawing deeper and deeper and deeper to experience things deeper, to know deeper, you know, and to go into what it is. You know, it's like I know what I was in the heart of God. You know, I knew my destiny scroll. I knew some of the things it said, but actually now I've been into the heart of God, and actually the thoughts that created me and inspired me to be, I've connected with. And it's just like, wow. you know, and it's still an active process. You know, it's not just, oh, well, it is, it is. It's was and is and will be. I mean, it's just an active, continual cycle of me becoming that. But in cooperation with it, it's like I get to participate in it. I mean, that's the wonder what I've seen. It's not a, well, oh, this is all mapped out and it's just fate. My relationship actually leads me to be involved in the process, to write the future from being who I should be. You know, it's difficult to describe in one sense, but the more I've engaged in the depths of intimacy with God, the more I realize that I'm destined to be part of that. It's almost like God is totally complete in himself and yet has chosen to involve us as his children in it. And the wonder of that, I guess I'm sort of wonder, just it's just a wonder. That just whole thing, how God would choose us and entrust us the process and being involved creatively in what will be, is just an amazing thing. You know, I just find it, you know, a really amazing thing. You know, and the more it's drawn me deeper, the more amazing it feels, you know. Yeah.
I had a wonderful experience driving down from Washington to California because there was a weather forecast of rain the whole drive down, and I did not want to do that. And so I envisioned in my car just being dry, like the sun was over my car as I drive, and then I'm thinking, forget that, I want it to be dry all the way down. So that the road would be dry. And sure enough, as soon as I got here, the storm hit behind me and it closed the pass down with snow and rain, and I got here just as I had envisioned, but spoke it out into existence, which was different than what I used to do. I used to kind of beg that would happen instead of instead of taking authority over it, and just like Mike said, so that those little things build up the confidence that I have to do bigger, engage deeper things, and these are my little stepping stones to give me confidence in what's happening around me. And then I also prayed, because California's in a huge drought, that this season in California would be restorative with the water and fill the lakes. You know, I just drove down to Bethel Church, and of course, a lake is just a river running through it. And so with this storm, it has snow on the mountain, and it's been raining, and the trees are just like so happy and singing because they have water. And so I'm seeing even more, not just my trip, but I've been praying over the land, the restoration of water and the resources, and that it would come in normal cycles, not like Buffalo, where they have too much snow. I want it to be a nice transition that the ground can absorb everything. So it's been nice. My little stepping stones and my confidence in my relationship with God is growing. That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome. Yeah. You know, and you know, it's just expanding our expectations of who we are in that governmental level of authority. You know, we used to pray and ask God to do these things. Will you, and it, as you say, almost pleading with him, please, please. And he was always saying, I've given you authority to do it as my children. You know? And you know, so much of the church just sees God so separate from them that they're praying to a brass heavens. It's like they don't really believe that their prayers are reaching God in one sense. You know, rather than, hey, let's go and visit him. Let's go and talk to him. Let's go and engage him. Let's experience his presence and know him. rather than, well, no, we're just separate. Heaven is just so separate, and we can't engage God like that, you know. And I just love how God is opening up these things, and as you know, the stepping stones that you're taking is great, isn't it? I mean, it's just imagine where it's going to be in 12 years' time or a few years' time. It's just as we learn and are faithful with those little things, and for some people they're huge things, but actually for God, those are just the little things that he's just giving us tasters of, and an opportunity to be faithful with those little things so that he can entrust us with much.
Yeah.
So that we can begin to change the affairs of nations and begin to shape history and to begin to reorder things and to have dominion that brings blessing and favor and those types of things. You know, not to say that there won't be conflict. I know the enemy is not going to just give in. So, yes, we're going to have to exercise authority. But actually, when we know the authority and we know who we are in it, actually, it's almost like, as you say, the conflict isn't really there.
No. Because
the enemy just can't deal with when we know who we are, which is why he's done everything he possibly can to keep us from knowing who we are through our whole lives and through the whole church, and to keep people from that place where they really know their destiny as sons of God. So, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, awesome testimony.
When I was in L.A., I spoke at Amy Semple McPherson's temple thing that she had built, you know.
Yeah.
And it was great being there. But just in line with the rain, I prophetically declared, the Lord showed me that there would be a rain, a historical rain, that would fall in California, not just in the wintertime, but in the summertime, so that it would like, in other words, it's like, you know, there's a season for something in the natural, but it was more of a declaration that even when it seems like it's most unnatural time, that's when you will see the greatest fall. And so I just felt like it depicted a time in the spirit, you know, where you're at in the kingdom of God. So anyhow, so that's pretty cool.
Awesome, very good. Excellent. Okay, so has anyone else got anything they want to ask or share?
Well, I'm going to continue from 2 weeks ago. You were doing the meditation on deeper love. I so appreciate knowing that, you know, for the last couple months you've been going to different levels, and right in the middle of meditation, the entire network of the county went out. you went away, and but I continued on my own in the vein that you were guiding us through, and I had this encounter with Jesus that we were sitting across like a little coffee table together. And I said, I really want to know the depth of your love. And he looked at me and said, asked me twice, like, do you really want this? Emphasize really. And I was like, yes, I really want this. And so he took his finger and he put it down the crown of my head and touched amygdala, hippocampus, part of the brain, and I thought, well, that was weird, because I thought he'd touch my heart or something, you know. But at 8 o'clock, it was time I had to go to work, and as I'm driving to work, probably within 5 miles of home, I was completely undone. I was like, this love just washed over, and I was bawling. I had to pull over. I couldn't see the road. My wipers on my eyeballs weren't working, and I was was completely undone. But there, since that encounter, just it's like my sensitivities are open and engaged, and so new level. So you really imparted through exercise, different levels with myself. So thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. It's pretty good there as well to see that it isn't always at the time when the most happened, because you wouldn't be able to do that at the time. And I think God knows, you know, if he touched your heart at that point rather than touch what he did that later on triggered that, then, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing in those things. You know, it's pretty good. I love, you know, the sort of stories of testimonies of encounters and what God does, because quite often we sort of, you know, we go to places and I never get to hear really what happens in people. It's almost like, okay, but so it's really great to hear that. So excellent. Yeah,
good.
Okay.
I had a couple days ago. Can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Oh, you can't hear me. Okay. I was in my garden, and I haven't really done anything in there, in that place for a while. When I first started going in, I put a tree and hung a swing on it, and Jesus swings me on the swing from the tree, and but I hadn't really gone in and I plant my experiences in that place along the river, but I hadn't really, like, done much there. And the other day, I didn't know what else to do, so I kind of went in and started kind of having at it. And it was really interesting how quickly I was able to create in that place gardens, plants that would spring up immediately with full fruit on them, and just about anything that I could perceive, I was able to establish in that place. Full arbors of grapes, you know, with the trellises, just about as fast as I could consider it, it would be established, and I could pull the fruit right off and eat it. And so I was having a really great time, and I kind of finished with everything, and I was looking around, and we need some rain, and it was like, and so it rained in the garden, and it was the funniest thing, because all of the roses, like, they became animated, and were so, like, all the flowers and everything was so, when the rain started coming down, that was like the flowers started dancing and singing. And it got me off guard. I was really surprised. Mary sits on the porch, and she always just kind of sits there in this place, and I'd never seen her do anything, but when the rain came, all of a sudden she's got something over her head and is running in the little house. And anyway, it was kind of a really neat thing, but I was so fascinated with how easy and quickly and effectively anything that I could see, anything that I could conceive, right, you know, was able to, it was great fun. Yeah.
But that's the place where we practice, because it's, we tend and cultivate it, and it's our garden, it's our place of intimacy, our place, our heart. The, obviously, the river is supposed to flow into and then flow out of to engage the world, and so what we create there and the desires that we create there, our creative desires, are actually part of the terraforming of the planet and bringing the planet back into order. And we get to do it there and release our creativity there so that it can come through us, so that eventually you'll be able to do that in actuality. You know, when we need that in the city of refuge, let's say, and we need this water and we need that and we need this, actually that's what we'll do. You know, we'll shift the mountains out of the way to make a flat area. We will, you know, have the water course go in this way so that we can have energy and we will have the authority to be able to bring what was the garden, which if you think that's what they had, to tend the garden east of Eden, so that the whole world would have become like that garden. Now that garden is in our heart. We have to start there, but it obviously isn't supposed to stay there. It's supposed to then flow out of us so that we can then engage that around the spiritual and natural realms around our lives. So it's awesome. And I think, you know, I would encourage people to cultivate and tend that garden, because we can do all sorts of things in the realms of heaven. And, you know, and I'm following the pathway of responsibility is wonderful, but actually the pathway of relationship, which is where that creativity comes out, reestablishes our connection with creation. You know, that we're supposed to be connected in such a way that that we steward it and we manage it and we bring blessing into it and through it. And so that creative ability that we have to do that is just a reflection of what will be the creative ability we have, you know, to manifest heaven onto earth, because we are a gateway of heaven. You know, so it's, you know, and I've created all sorts of things in my garden as well. I have mountains in there and ranges of mountains. Everything I do in heaven, I want to be reflected into the garden of my heart. So then I can then reflect that out into the world. Even if it's just my little sphere or my little patch that I've been given authority over, I need to administrate it, you know, and that means, you know, having my shadow healing people, or people step too close into me and they feel that atmosphere and they feel the life that's flowing from that place, and, you know, that creativity, which is, you know, the who we are, is all flowing out of that thing. So again, you know, it's a really great testimony, you know, and just a foretaste and forerunning of what we will be actually doing on the earth, because that's what Adam and Eve would have done. You know, they would have done that. You know, as they named the animals, and Adam named the animals, he creatively birthed them. He should have just taken that to the rest of the planet and brought everything back into the sort of reflection of heaven, because he could walk in Eden and he could walk in the garden of God, and his walking with God was supposed to then take that and subdue the earth and bring the whole earth into that wondrous relationship of creativity. You know, which is why we need to take the tectonic plates back, and why we need to take the authority in the nations, so we can establish these gardens on earth, which will just draw people. You know, people will want to live in those places, particularly if the outside of those places becomes worse. You know, they will be drawn, you know. So we need to learn how to be creative and to release that spiritual creativity to change things. You know, whether you call it terraforming or heaven forming or whatever it's going to be, it's going to be to bring, you know, the paradise of God's garden was always what earth was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Not separated, not divided, not countries and land masses split apart, but actually one place which would be the garden of God. You know? So, I mean, it's awesome stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool. Mm. I've got to run, but it was great being with all of you.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So I got time for, you know, any more? I mean, I got a few minutes. So I don't know if anyone else wants to share anything.
I had a question on the, we were talking about spatial, you know, being able to imagine and visualize in our mind, and I was kind of working something out in the last couple of days regarding the menorahs. Mm-hmm. In a couple of the pictures, they were kind of sideways, and so I've been kind of working this whole thing out in my head, and And so I ended up with four menorahs and all kind of concentric so that their circles all line up. And I thought, well, that was really nice. And I started, you know, considering the lion, the ox, and the eagle, and the man in each one. And I'm looking at this thing, and I thought, well, so now it's flat like a sheet of paper. And I didn't really like the way that it was kind of flat like that. And so I thought, well, I need a couple more on the front side and the back side. And so when I did that, I ended up with kind of more of a cube that I thought was really nice. And so, but then I started, you know, running the yod hay, vav hay, but it didn't wrap all the way around it. And I remember in one of your videos, Mike, you know, it was yod hey, Hashem, vav hey. And so I started, and so I tried that. Well, that, I had it backwards, so I'm doing the yod hey, shem ha, vav hey, and I'm thinking, well, this kind of works, but I had it wrong. And then I said it, I managed to get it right, and boy, I realized real quick I had it kind of right. And I got up and I looked, but I just kind of wanted to run that by you because I don't want to be doing something I shouldn't be. But I was kind of having a pretty good time with the whole thing. In fact, I even built it out of I made it out of paper.
Yeah. Well, it's trying to perceive a multi-dimensional environment. And we've actually last Monday we stepped in as a group here to engage our book, our scroll, and four people out of the 12 that were stepping in all saw something similar, a multi-dimensional 3x4x and all this. And it's like we all drew it. I mean, we sort of tried to. I mean, my drawing was just rubbish. I mean, it was just like, you know, I just couldn't get it to look. But I knew enough. And then when I saw someone else's, I was like, oh yeah, that was another aspect of it, and that was an aspect of it. And actually, this understanding of the dimensions and how the dimensions work together and how they unfold, and you know how they entwine with one another and how the dimensions cross. I mean, it's I would go for it. I mean, you're not doing anything wrong, that's for sure. Trying to actually visualize it, it's more than three dimensions. I mean, putting it onto a one-dimensional piece of paper is one thing, and then trying to say, well, what does that look like in three? But actually, we're talking about six dimensions at least, you know, of how these things interact. And I think when you see things like on Wisdom's Heights, you get where the paths meet, and there are doorways there, and there are intersections, and you have the way. That's a description of what you're describing. And there are doorways of intersection and connections in dimensions when these things start to interact and when we begin to engage with them. And I believe God is unveiling that, you know, and you know, those who are really creative and can draw it or make it in paper is wonderful. It actually, what it represents is what we can do when we engage it in the realms of heaven and it go into those dimensions and engage where intersections take place. And as I shared earlier, this was something what was going on here on Sunday. Whether an intersection took place between two angelic beings, it just opened a doorway of engagement. You know, because an arc formed, and I just come into agreement. It was just like, look, form an agreement with that arc to form a governmental place where you can engage. And people began to do that. So, you know, it sounds excellent. You know, and I think there is this unveiling of what this is. And I think for you, you know, we started off with sort of, you know, how creative people and people like Einstein saw and visualized things, and that's what you're doing. You're visualizing something of the dimensions and multi-dimensions of God, that interact in positional government and places of authority and access into dimensional realms, which, you know, once you start to see it, then you can begin to step through. So that's the thing. What I'd encourage you to do, actually find out where some of these things interact and just engage in it and see where it ends up. See where you go. See what's there. You know, because this is a place of exploration. You know, we can explore these places and we can engage in these places. Great. I mean, it's awesome. I think, I wish I could have, when I started to see it, I just couldn't get beyond knowing what it was, and I couldn't draw it. So I was, again, trying to put something in what, on a piece of paper, which was dimensional. It's really hard to do, isn't it? I was less, my version was less inspired than some of the others who drew their version, let's say.
I understand
what they were trying to draw. But that's the thing. Now we can let's engage where they are. Yes. It's pretty.
Yeah, my son keeps telling me, I don't know if you can see it or not. I kind of, this is my little art project here.
Wow, yeah, fantastic.
But it kind of, now I can sit and kind of look at it and wonder a little further,
And see where those intersections are and step in through the gateways that they form as they connect. Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Well, I've been kind of contemplating the tree of life, and all of those pathways, and the menorah and how it lined up with the arms on the menorah, and all of a sudden I'm sticking them all together, and like Tinker Toys,
yeah.
And I kind of felt bad for him, because I was supposed to be considering these different pathways with the Tree of Life, and now I've got the Tinker Toys going, and I'm sticking them all together. But
awesome.
It was.
I'd love to be able to see it. I mean, if you get it in some sort of thing that you can scan it or something, it'd be great to see it, because it's like I. Yeah, I love that.
I'll take a picture of it with my phone and send it to you.
Yeah, awesome. That would be great. I'd love that. Excellent. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, because if you don't see it, you're not going to engage into it, you know, and who knows what's there for us to discover in these things.
Well, there's been a place that I've been going where it's, they're kind of, I don't know how to describe it. There's a guy there, and he said I could call him the teacher, and it's kind of, there's a lot of like old Hebrew kind of type of stuff going on there, and so I run in there with this thing to him. And I'm showing it to him and asking him, you know, is this all right? And what do you think about this? And behind him, like this other guy, like lights up, that was dressed in a completely different type of a garb, And I haven't been able. I haven't been able to engage him yet. But I flashed for a minute, and he was wearing a dark robe, and with a different type of a hat. And I've been a little bit curious about him, but the other one, he won't. I tried just kind of going back there and finding the other one, and then I didn't feel very comfortable. The other one was kind of trying to keep me from going back there, and so I've been trying to follow protocol, because he asked me not to go chase the other one down. I've been kind of waiting on him, but I I'm a little bit kind of curious about this guy, but last night a whole bunch of other rooms and places, it got really light. It was really beautiful. I don't know what I was expecting to happen, but I was expecting something to happen because it was getting so bright in there and it was so beautiful, but there were like rooms and just different realms upon more realms and rooms and places, and then it just kind of all kind of closed back up again.
Well, keep
so I'm kind of working on being patient, but I'm rather impatient, and I'm pretty curious about the whole thing.
Well, so you're obviously being led and drawn to that, and so you know just keep going back, keep engaging it, you know, and yeah. It's like what you want is okay. What are the outworkings? Because remember, don't get stuck on function form. Yeah, it's not just what these things look like, but what are the function of where the paths meet. What's the function of this place? Right, because we can get caught up in what it looks like and actually miss what is its purpose. And so, you know, maintain that heat. That's why the whole Hebrew mentality was all about function. So the tree wasn't a thing that had roots and a trunk and a tree and with fruit on it. The whole thing with the function of a tree is to produce seed for multiplication of the tree. You know, and yeah. We can get so caught up in, well, the branch means this and the trunk means this. And actually, that's a very Greek way. So keep pursuing that whole Hebrew mindset of the function of it. You know, actually, when these two intersect, what happens here? You know, what's the government of this? And, you know, then the protocols for that will all unveil. So it sounds pretty good stuff. Anyway, but I better.